Okay, Hever, so I just want to talk for like 2 or 3 minutes to go back to the topic that kind of got you interested last week, which is the sugya of building a mechitza materis on Shabbos. If you remember, we pointed out that there is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam about whether you're allowed to put up a mechitza on Shabbos if that mechitza enables you to do something that you couldn't do previously. And the shita of Rashi is that the iser of mechitza, which is a subset of the iser of ohel, does not apply because an ohel has to have a roof. That was Rashi's shita. And Rabbeinu Tam said no. Rabbeinu Tam said that you can violate an Isra on Shabbos by just putting up a mechitza itself, even if it doesn't have a roof. That was what we discussed last week. Conceptually, this machlokas might relate to an element of the malacha of bona. Remember, building an ohel on Shabbos, right? And mechitza might be a subset of ohel, like we mentioned. So the reason why we don't build an ohel on Shabbos is because it's part of the malach of bona. Bona, the Gemara tells us a principle that ain binyan b'kelum. Gemara teaches us that the malach of bona only applies to stuff that is attached to the ground. There's no iser of bona b'kelum. Now, why is that? So I don't know, but in order to get to why it's true, there's a discussion between Rashi and the Tosfos in a number of places in Masechta Shabbos. I think I gave you the Maror Makom in the Tosfos on Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis, and you're probably thinking, like, why is he giving this to us? I gave this to you like 3 weeks ago or something, because we missed a week in between. But Rashi's Shita is that if I fashion a keli completely, if I take clay and I make a pot, Zakt Rashi, I do not violate the malach of bona min haTorah. It's only asur midrabbanan because ein binyan bekelim. Tosas, however, writes that if it's binyan gomor, if you build something completely, right, from womb to tomb, right, you build it. Everything, a total keli, mitzchila itself. So Taisa says you violate the malacha of binyan b'kelim. Meaning, according to Rashi, and the Yireim agrees with Rashi, according to Rashi and the Yireim, so ein binyan b'kelim is categorical. There is no such thing as binyan b'kelim. But Tosa says that there is binyan b'kelim if I make a keli in a way that's considered significant binyan. When I say in binyan b'kelim, according to Tosas, what that means is if I have a keli shel prakim, if I have like something that just involves like putting the tubes into each other, it's pretty much pre-assembled and you're just sticking it together. I'm becoming verbally impaired. I don't remember. There's like a normal term for this, right? When you just like attach stuff together. Prefab. You put up a prefab, right? That's what you're thinking, Rachel?
I was
No.
just gonna say IKEA. That was
Oh,
IKEA.
no, so IKEA, you have to be a super genius to, whatever. Yeah, you have to be mamish, like a 500 IQ to put together anything from IKEA. But Tice holds that ending in the kalem is only if it's like a prefab. But if you're building something from scratch, then it is binyan b'kelim. So years ago, I remember hearing a chabur that Rabbi Sabalowski gave in the yeshiva, where he suggested that maybe Rashi and Tosas are disagreeing about the nature of ein binyan b'kelim. Rashi holds that ein binyan b'kelim is because we learn the malachos on the Mishkan, and the Mishkan itself is considered karka. The Mishkan is not considered kelim. The Mishkan was attached to the Adonim. The Adonim are put into the ground. That's how we learn binyan from the Mishkan. Taisus, however, says that the limud from the Mishkan is just teaching me that in order to violate bona, it has to be a significant binyan. It has to be something that's like a real accomplishment, something that isn't just like a little bit. It's got to be a real tokef. So Rashi holds that Ein Din Yibikelim is categorical because it's not like the Mishkan. Tosas holds Ein Din Yibikelim just means that you're not chayiv for insignificant binyan on Shabbos. If it's significant, if you make an entire keli, then you are chayiv. If this explanation is all correct, so then Rashi and Tosas are l'shitasam when it comes to making a mechitza materas on Shabbos. Meaning that according to Rashi, there's no issur of making a mechitza materas on Shabbos. Because Rashi is going to hold that the nature of binyan is that it resembles the Mishkan. The Mishkan had an ohel on top of the karashim. There's a ceiling. Without the ceiling, without the roof, it's not binyan. That's Rashi. Tosis says, dude, no, that's not correct. It's binyan, Zoktosis, if it's significant. Whatever is significant is binyan. How, what makes something significant? So Zoktosis, oh, a mechitza materes. That's significant. I couldn't do something beforehand. Now I can do it. So that means that's considered binyan according to Tosis because it is mechitza materes. That's l'cha'ora. The Machlokas Rashi and Tos over here is logically connected, or one could suggest it's logically connected to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis about Binyan Bekalim. So that's the next point I wanted to make. Questions, comments? Okay, excellent. So now let's begin a new Gemara.
Can I just ask, this is really... When people talk about bona with an umbrella, it doesn't even feel like it fits in with the Tosfos very lenient, because it's prefab.
It's prefab, yeah. Yeah, so the story goes like this. The Noda Behuda writes in the Tshuva that there is an Isser. I think his Lashon is the Karav Be'inai Leos Isser Do Raisa, to use an umbrella on Shabbos. He bases it on the Gemara in Shabbos that speaks about how you're not supposed to wear like a wide-brimmed hat on Shabbos because the wide-brimmed hat is some sort of bona, and according to some Rishonim, it's potentially Nisr D'Oraisa, Zatna D'Bihuda. Therefore, using the umbrella as an Nisr D'Oraisa. I've just been teaching about bona in my shiur uptown, and one of the things... Okay, I'll miss you. One of the things that we spoke about is a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer in Siman Ayin Beis, where the Chassam Sofer writes that he thinks the Noda Behuda is dead wrong, because he says the umbrella is meant to open and close the whole time. Right? That's the way umbrellas are. If that's the case, it's called Binyan L'Shava. And the Yerushalmi has machlokas about binyan l'sha'a. So machlokas in Yerushalmi, if I build something in a temporary way, is that called bona or not? The Chassam Sofer tries to show from a Gemara in the Aflamet Aleph on Shabbos that binyan l'sha'a is not binyan. And therefore, if it's not binyan, so therefore there's no iser min hatayra to use an umbrella. But he writes, I don't really do it nonetheless. It's not clear, by the way, our umbrellas, which are retractable, what did their umbrellas look like? Our umbrella is like a retractable. No, you push a button and like it's magic. It goes down, it goes up. I think their umbrellas were more like the, like the patio umbrellas, the outdoor umbrellas that people have, that like, people have like a picnic table with a big umbrella. So those things, you can't just like push a button and have it come down. It's a much more complicated type of situation. So that's the story of their umbrellas. It could be that there is a difference between their umbrellas and our umbrellas in terms of that. But even so, the Chassam Sofer is Mako, even on the umbrellas at his time. Did that answer your question? Excellent. Okay, let's begin the new Gemara Chevra. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi. I'd say it's around one third of the way up from the bottom of the page. I'm Rav Chisda Ravimi. Machtzelas arba'a umashehu materes besukkah misham dofen. Remember, a wall of a sukkah technically has to be 10 tefachim tall. So Rav Chisda tells me that you could be makel, that somehow a little more than four becomes 10. Machzalas arba umashahu works as a dofen for a sukkah. So the Gemara asks, how does this happen? Hechi yavid, what are you doing? So the Gemara says, Tali la be'emtza, pachos mishlosha lamata, upachos mishlosha lamala, v'chol pachos mishlosha kelava dami. Right? He basically says that what you do is you put the four tfachim in the middle, right? The amazing thing about Zoom is I could do whiteboard, which is like great. So here is my, I need it to be 10 tfachim tall, right? This is 10. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have something that is four tfachim in the middle. My machzalas is four. It's slightly more than four. So this area is a little bit less than three. The stach is over here. This area is a little bit less than three. Four plus three plus three equals 10, right? So that's going to be the wall, because I'm using the principle of pachos mishlosha is considered lafod. Anything less than three tfachim is considered attached. And therefore, now I have 10 tfachim. Ad kan the Gemara. So Gemara asks pshita. The Gemara says, of course, it works. So mahu detim achad lavod amrinon, tre lavod lo amrinon, kamash mulan. Zak the Gemara, I would have thought that we say one lavod, but we don't say two lavods. Kamash mulan, the chiddush is I even say two lavods. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Like, what does it mean? I would have thought that you only say one, right? Not two. The chiddush is that you even say two lavuds. We'll flesh this out in a few minutes. Oh. Meisve. Machzala shiva umashu materes besukah mishum dofen. Right? The Gemara says that in order to be matir a sukkah, you need a machzelis of shiva umashu, seven and a little bit. So the Gemara's kasha is, one second, we just said four works. How come now you're saying seven? The Gemara answers, ki tanya hahi b'sukkah gedola. That case is talking about a sukkah gedola, which the majority of Rishonim understand means the sukkah is very tall. Until now, the sukkah, let's say, was 10 tfachim tall. But now let's say I have a sukkah that is five amos tall. Right? Five amos is like 30 tfachim. So gigantic sukkah. So if the sukkah is five amos tall, I can't just have four over here based on the three to the bottom, because I have way more than three to the top. So therefore, I need a total of seven. That's what the Gemara says. I need seven because the sukkah is very tall. Kitanyahi b'sukkah gedola. Umay kamash malan. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is the mishal shalom defanos momalo lamata kerebiosi. The chiddush is that we lower the walls from top to bottom, just like Rebiosi said. This means as follows, right? The way the Gemara is saying is that my schach is up here. I'm going to have a machzelis of seven tfachim near the schach. There's less than three between the machzelis and the schach. That means a total of 10 tfachim. And we are going like the shita of Reb Yossi, who says that Mechitza Truya works. We're going with the sheet of Reb Yossi that we encountered last week, that a hanging Mechitza is also a good Mechitza. The Mechitza doesn't have to be on the ground. Right? Even if the Mechitza is just hanging up, it's fine. This is the Gemara the way we have it. Let's look at the Tosis Kitanya Hahi. And then we'll go back to the previous Tosis.
Could I ask a very technical question?
Yeah.
The Meitive that was here, is this a challenge?
I think so.
Okay.
It's a challenge in the sense of you said four tefachim is necessary to create the wall, and we see that seven tefachim is necessary.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it seemed like there were sort of two competing texts, but I mean, I guess it just felt like it was very easy to dismiss the side. It feels like they dismissed the second one very easily, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, the answer that the Gemara gives is just that it's talking about a completely different case. It's talking about a very tall sukkah. I don't know if this is so different than the average meisve in the Gemara. Like, the Gemara has a statement, we ask a question, and we propose a resolution.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Gutman.
Does Rav Yossi not care that there's more than three tefachim between the ground and the bottom?
Rav Yossi could not care less. Okay. Rav Yossi holds that mechitza tluya helps, and I can have a mechitza hanging up, and the fact that gedoyim boken, the fact that I have little kids in the sense of small goats, and they run through it, right? That doesn't create any problem at all, according to Rav Yossi. Gedoyim boken, it's perfectly kosher. Right. That's Rabbi Yossi's shita. Rabbi Yossi holds that mechitza tluya works as a mechitza. Mechitza can be hanging. Oh, zok taisus. Kitan yahi besuka gedola begavoa harbe she'en yacholom ashnei levudim. It's so tall that you can't say lovin twice. Right? That's what we pointed out. That if you have four, right, in the middle. So you can maybe say lovin to the bottom, but there's way too much to the top to say lovin. Hilkoch boy machzalas shiva umashahu, umamida bepachos mishlosha somach lekarka, kach pirish hakuntris. Right, Tosa says that the machzalas of shlosh, the machzalas of shiva, the thing of seven, zoktosis, is near the ground. You have less than three from the ground, then you have the seven. And Tosa says, and this is what Rashi said. So pause for a second. Does anyone see this in Rashi?
Which Rashi?
So the Rashis would be like Machzalas Shiva Umashu. It's like seven lines from the bottom, and then the next Rashi is Sukka Gedola.
Did Rashi talk about something being like, no, I'm sorry. I think I'm thinking of a different case here.
Remember, Tosas is saying that the seven is close to the ground. And Tosas is saying that that's what Rashi says.
Isn't Rashi saying that it actually needs to be samach l'schach?
Nachon.
Okay.
Tosas has Rashi, the opposite than our Rashi. And that's like, it's not like this never happens, but it's still a little bit strange. I don't know how to resolve this. Tosis has a different Rashi than we have printed. Okay. Tosis continues. Now, by the way, according to this Gemara, the way Tosis has the Gemara, it's a pretty abrupt end. The Gemara has a question. We said four, you said seven. So the Gemara answers, yeah, when we say seven, it's a very tall sukkah. End of conversation. Tall sukkah, and you're putting the seven close to the ground. Seven plus three is 10. And the halacha is that the mechitzos don't have to touch the schach. So my schach could be way, way, way up above the, it could be way up above, and it's going to still be fine. Right? That's basically the Gemara, the way Tosis has it. Aval, b'chol hasram garsinon, my kamashna de mishal shal defanus mamala lamata, Rabbi Yossi. The other svarim, all of the texts have that the chiddush of the Gemara is that we're mishalshal defanos mamala lamata, that we are taking the walls right from up and down. Right? That's the way we said it earlier, that the chiddush is that we hold that mechitza tfuya works. Lefikach, tzarech lefarish v'amida l'mayla pachas mishnosh v'son v'schach, v'afilu gavoa harbe min ha'aretz k'shevra k'reb yosi demasnisen, d'omar mechitza tfuya materes. Right, Tosa says, according to the Giras and the Gemara, the case is the way I have it now, that the machzalas is high up, it's within three of the roof, within three of the... Okay, chevra. How do I paskin? Do I paskin like Rabbi Yossi or do I paskin like the Chachamim?
I'll take a stab that it's like the Chachamim.
Right. Take a stab, it's like the Chachamim, because normal Judaism is that Yalachot is Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, you're not going to pass like Rabbi Yossi. However, the Rush in Simon Lamed Aleph, actually, do any of you have, I probably should have assigned this as a Maramakum. Are you able to turn to the Rush in Simon Lamed Aleph? Maybe we should just look at it inside. Zok the Rush, he quotes the Mishnah. Hamishal Shadavas Mamala Mata Fit. Three tefachim it's possible. Mamata l'mayla, 10 tefachim is good. Rabbi Yossi says that kishem shal mamata l'mata, kishem shal milmata l'mayla, 10 tefachim. Also mamata l'mata, 10 tefachim. Hirchik es ha-sikuch min ha-defan ha-shlosh ha-tefachim, psula. That's a line that the Rosh has in our Mishnah that we do not have in our Mishnah. Right? That line, that if the walls are three tefachim above the, if the schach is three tefachim or more above the walls, that's no good. That line is in the Rush's Mishnah, not in our Mishnah. Okay, we'll leave that for the time being. Halachos gedolos, Rabbi Shmuel, v'haramban, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, pasku k'rabbanon. But he gives a whole list of Rishonim who pass like Rachamim against Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Amram and Rabbeinu Chananel and the Avi Ezri, pasku k'Rabbi Yossi, dinimuko imo. They paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara has an expression in Gittin, the Rabbi Yossi nemuko imo, meaning Rabbi Yossi always brought rayas to his yesod. So they paskin like Rabbi Yossi because he always has rayas. Af al gav de ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi elo mechavei ro velo mechavei rav. He asks Akasha, but what do you mean? We only paskin like Rabbi Yossi when he disagrees with a yachid. Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi mechavei ro velo mechavei rav. If he disagrees with a few people we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. So the Rosh answers, Hatanya lekamon kavosei, u'machzala shevo mashu materes besukah, mishum dofin, v'hain rofisar and degarsin, l'may kamashal and misharshin defas v'mal l'mata, etc. Okay, Yossi, Abba, give me a shiur now. So the idea is, zucked the Rav Yo, the Rabbi Nuchananel, etc., that they're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi because of our Gemara. Even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi when he argues with Chavei Rav, when he argues with the Chachomim, but over here there's a stomach de Gemara that says like Rabbi Yossi, right? Because the Gemara says that the Chiddush is that we are Mishal Shel Defanos Mumal Mato, like we just said. V'chein bal ha'itor pasak Rabbi Yossi ma'hi braisa u'piresh kamashal ha'demishashalin momal olamata afilu l'chatchila k'Rabbi Yossi. Dimi masnisin havamin adavka b'di eved av l'chatchila lo. Right, the bal ha'itor, historically, by the way, the bal ha'itor is the first Rishon we know in Provence. We don't know of any Rishonim who lived in Provence and the French Riviera until the Baha Itor. Okay. But the Baha Itor says that we pass from like Rabbi Yossi based on our Gemara. And the finish of our Gemara is that I pass in like Rabbi Yossi and I can build a mechitza tzluya even l'chatchila. I can even, this is a l'chatchila way of building a sukkah. It's not just that's going to be okay b'di eved. Vizu Hagirsa is Berov Svarim. Aval Girsus Rashi Ein Raya Misham. The Rashi Garas Ki Tanyahi Besuka Gadola Vitulo Perish Besuka Gavoa Harabe Shen Yacholamo Shen Yacholoma Bar Shnei Levudim Hilka Yuli Machzas Zayin Umashu Amamida Pachos Migimo Samach Lekarka The Asik Rabbanon. Meaning, Zok the Rush, that the Machlokas over here about whether that Machzalos of seven is close to the top or whether it's close to the bottom, right? The two Girsaos is actually very relevant lahalacha. Because according to the Girsa that the Machzalos is close to the top, my beautiful Girsa that I just circled, according to that Girsa, what our Gemara is saying is that the Chiddush is that I'm going to coin to Rabbi Yossi. That would add fuel to the idea that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi over here, even though ordinarily the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi, here it does. However, according to Rashi, that the seven is towards the bottom, so our Gemara is not telling me anything that I pass in like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore I go back to the normal rule in Shas that I do not pass in like Rabbi Yossi. That is the way the Rush is setting this up, that this machlokas, which is a machlokas in Girsa or whatever, is actually very relevant lahalacha. Tanya, I think I cut you off. I think you had a question and I just kept on talking.
Oh, no. I interrupted. So my question was just that if we want to go with the Girsa where the huge gap is between the schach and the wall, I guess in either way, we're using the good, whether it's asik or did you call it achis, where it goes down. So
correct.
But that's so interesting.
In either way, there's a coin to Rabbi Yossi, right? I have a mechitza tluya. So this is my mechitza, and it's like hanging up there. So it's based on the principle of good achis, right? That we drop the mechitza. And according to Chachamim, we don't drop mechitzas. According to Chachamim, we only take mechitzas and elevate them. We don't drop them. But we spoke about that last time. Last time we learned, we spoke about it, that it's normal to build walls starting from the ground, building up. And that's why it's easier in halacha to say good asik rather than good achitz. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. It's right. We paskin that the mechitza on the floor is okay, and then we can use our imagination to build up. But we don't use our halachic imagination to build down because walls are not normally built going downwards.
I guess the chiddush in this case is we're using both lavud, like we don't have 10 tfachim, so we're using this imaginary wall and then we're making it extend. So that...
Right. So that is a...
positing all of these...
That's the further chiddush. There's a tshuva in Reb Kiva Eger that maybe you cannot combine two different halachah l'moshe misinais. The Ran seems to have such a lashon like that. There are many gemaras, this one included, that seem to be combining two different halachah l'moshe misinais. Love is a halachah l'moshe misinai, good is a halachah l'moshe misinai. We seem to be combining them. That Reb Kiva Eger and the Ran is a known discussion, but it seems to be befavorish against our conversation here. I agree with that. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi Schwartz, yes. Good achik or good achis, that works even if it's greater than three tfachim of space?
Correct. Lavud is the halacha of three tfachim. Good basically means once I have a wall. The halachic definition of a wall is 10 tfachim. Once I have a halachic wall, I can be good asik mechitza, I could put it up. I could be good aches, it could come down, which are right. That's the halacha. Yeah. Okay.
Girsas Rashi. He's talking about what Tosfos has as Girsas Rashi. Or I can.
But when the Rush is talking about Rashi, the Rush has Rashi the way Tosfos has Rashi, correct? The Rush is Rashi. That the Rush's Rashi has it on the ground. Our Rashi, right, which is the same as Tosfos's Rashi, that it has it on the ground. Our Rashi has the seven up in the air near the schach. So So the Rush's Rashi is the same as Tosis's Rashi. That's correct. Oh. Now, the Gemara basically tells me, in the first case, right, that I have four in the middle, and it's going to be kosher because I'll have lovud to the bottom and lovud to the top. But that's what the Gemara says. I would have thought, mahu detema, that I only say one lovud, I don't say two lovuds. The chiddush is I say two lovuds. This is different than the case I was just alluding to from Rebbe Akiva Agar, because in that case, there are two separate halachah l'moshe misinais. Obviously, it's the same halachah l'moshe misinai, just in two directions, up and down. They're both lovuds. Zaktaisis. Let's look at this tosis mahu detema. Mahu detema chad lovud amrin and shrei lovud lo amrinan. Detema. Dahanami mosa de pshita hi demachshirin le'el kana kana pachos mishlosha the dofin sukkah kedofin Shabbos. Tosis asks, of course, right, we say two lovuds because the Gemara has a line that I could build a mechitza like this. Kana kana pachos mishlosha. Right? This is a mechitza. I have a strip, a tiny little piece of wood. Each piece of wood is within three tefachim of the other piece of wood. That becomes a mechitza. But fret toises, I don't understand. Right? Isn't that saying two lovuds? No. You have A, B. B, A. Right? You're saying lovud on both ways. So that toises is kasha. What type of chiddush is there? Oh, the chiddush of our Gemara is that I say lovud two ways. But toises asks, that's poshut. We have that Gemara Dav Zayin. That kana kana pachos mishlosha works because dofen sukkah is kedofen Shabbos. The wall of a sukkah is like the wall of a Shabbos. And just like for Shabbos, this works. The sukkah, that also works. So what is the chiddush over here? So Tosis answers, v'shem asaka daitoch lechalek bein shesi le'erev. Maybe there's a difference between the warp and the woof. I always forget which one is which. I think this is Shasi, and this is Erev. Right? Erev is the horizontal, Shasi is the vertical. There might be a distinction between Shasi and Erev. What's the distinction? Right? Tosis is saying that we might think that you can say two-directional lovud on verticals, but you can't say it on horizontals. Why? So one of the classical svarim on Erevin is called the Gon Yaakov. The Gon Yaakov writes that perhaps the idea is that there's a halacha of something called a pesach, of a doorway. If I have two verticals, so that looks like a doorway. No, you walk between the two verticals, so this becomes like a door. But if I have horizontals, unless you're like a little dog, does anyone have those things that's only in the cartoons? You have like the dog doors that like, no, but do you have a dog door? Right? I wasn't saying that dogs are only in the cartoons.
He would fall down the stairs. We live on a third floor walk up and the poor thing would hurt himself. It's not a good idea to have a dog door in the city.
Okay. That's a word to the wise. But what the Gon Yaakov is saying is that the logic of saying lovud in two directions makes sense on verticals, because on verticals, there are, you could claim halachically that it's a doorway. But if it's horizontal, I can't claim that it's a doorway because people don't make doors like this. That's not a normal way to make a door. Oh, that is one mahalach in Taisvis. Rav Soloveitchik and his Shiurim tried to suggest a more razzle-dazzle mahalach. Now, the Gon Yaakov is basically saying that there's a difference between Shasi and Erev because by Shasi, it's normal, right? It's normal on the vertical that people go through it. It's like a doorway. By Erev, it's not normal. The Rav said, Azoy, the Rav said that maybe our Gemara's Chiddush is that the two lovuds and our Gemara are actually different. Again, let's go back to what we have. We have four at the bottom, we have four in the middle, three at the bottom, and three at the top before the Schach. Right? That's what our Gemara says. Four, three, and three. Beautiful. The Rav suggested that maybe there are two different types of lavud. There's one type of lavud, which is called ka'ara smichdadanya. The ground, right? The Gemara in Shabbos on Sadi Tes, I believe, has an expression. Does anyone level off their ground with a malachit or a hitni? Does anyone take like a tweezer to flatten the ground? Ground is not perfectly flat. So therefore, there's a certain fudge factor or margin of error that we allow. And that margin of error might be three tefachim, meaning anything within three tefachim is still considered the ground because the ground tends to go up and down and there are little bumps. So we'll say whatever within three is called ground. That's one type of lavud. That's aras michta. There's another type of lavud, however, which is the lavud up in the top. That lavud isn't aras michta. That lavud is that we fill stuff in. One lavud is just saying, I elevate ground level. The other lavud is saying that I fill things in entirely. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. So therefore, the Rav is saying that the Chiddush of our Gemara is that when I say two lavud, right? Mahu detema, chad lavud aminan, shred lavud lo aminan. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that these are two totally different types of lavud. Right? The lavud at the bottom is a lavud that ground is not even. Ground is bumpy. So therefore, we give you three tefachim of fudge factor, three tefachim of, right, ground bumping. The lavud at the top is in Gansen and totally different form of lavud. Totally different form of lavud. That's what the Gemara suggests. That's the way the Rav understood this Gemara. This principle that there are two different halachas of lavud is actually borne out in the Chazon Ish in Erevin. Let's go like this. When we, in Yiddish, the word Erev means the Tzuris HaPesach that goes around the city, right? So to have a Tzuris HaPesach, you have a Kana Mikan, a post over here, a Kana Mikan, and you have a Kana Agabim, you have a lintel on top. That looks like a door frame, and we enclose the entire community with that, and that's what makes it kosher. Oh. The Chazon Ish writes that we do not say lavud in the Kana Mikan, meaning the vertical post of the vertical post that's going to support the Kanaga Bayam, we can't say lavud. I can't have like broken things. This actually happens very often. Erevin in New Jersey Erevin in most of the world is very different than Erevin in New York City. I don't know what Boston is like, but New York City, we do not have any overhead electric wires or overhead telephone wires. You ever noticed? All of our telephone wires and electric wires are under the ground in New York City. In most places on this planet, you have telephone wires above ground. When you have a telephone wire above ground, the way you build an Erev is that you basically try to attach the post to the telephone pole. I have a big telephone pole over here. Right, this telephone pole is something, right? Here's the telephone wire. This is the telephone pole. I can't use the telephone pole as the Erev because it protrudes beyond the wire. So I have to put something else. I have to put something else near there. And the thing that I put near there is another little pole, which is directly under the telephone pole. Directly under the telephone wire. I put another little pole attached to the telephone pole, That's directly under the wire, and that's what counts. Well, often those little things break in the middle. Well, that does not look Jewish. Often the little thing breaks in the middle. And if it breaks in the middle, so then is it still going to be kosher? So the Chazon Ish says that if it's broken in the middle, it's not kosher as a konimikan of a Tzuris HaPesach. You cannot make a Tzuris HaPesach with that break in the middle. It doesn't work, says the Chazon Ish. However, elsewhere, the Chazon Ish writes that you can have a pole for the Eruv that does not go all the way to the ground. If this is my ground, I could have the pole something like that, a little bit above the ground, as long as it's within 3 tefachim. So there's a bit of a steer in the Chazon Ish. Over here, the Chazon Ish says that any break in the middle does not help, because you can't say lavud in the konami kan of Tzuris HaPesach. Chazon Ish has a term, the Gemara in Menachos uses a term, it's called Pischi Shamoi, right? Pischi Shamoi means it's like broken doors. An Erev has to be a straight, normal door. A broken door isn't good. So Chazon Ish says if you have bumps in the middle, breaks in the middle, that's a broken door, it doesn't help. Even if that gap is less than 3 tefachim, it still doesn't help. That's Pischi Shamoi. Right? That's what the Chazon Ish says. Even that little gap over here is not going to help because that is Pischi Shamoi. It's broken. However, if it is not touching the ground, then it does help. Why does that help? The answer is because that's a different type of lavud. I'm not going to say lavud in middle of the konamikan. I'm not going to say lavud in the middle. But lavud from the ground up, I will say, because that's a different din of lavud. That's a halacha of lavud ka'ar osmichta. It's a halacha of lavud like the ground is not even, the way we explained it, rather than the halacha of lavud that things are connected and attached. So far, so good?
I can speak for the Erev in Cambridge. I can't for Boston. I checked the Erev in Cambridge. And we certainly have some of these. But my question, is there anyone who does hold that you could have a break? Because that's definitely something we check for, that you can't have a break. I'm just curious if anyone would argue that you could.
Questions. Is there anyone who holds?
I mean, I'm sorry, that's the wrong question, but...
The standard approach in Erev construction is to follow that Chazon Ish.
Okay.
That any break in the middle invalidates. And that's actually a very big deal. Like the Erev checkers have to be careful. Those things actually, usually you have like a piece of like plastic stripping or something attached to the foam pole and they break over time. Or a bigger issue is that they bend at the top. Right? It's supposed to be right underneath the wire.
Yeah.
Sometimes over time it bends and then it ends up not being right underneath the wire. And that could also be a problem. Erev checkers have to be very careful with that. Checking an Erev in New York City, it's funny. Erev in New York City have larger issues in terms of defining Rishus HaRabim and the like, but they have the construction of the Erev is much simpler, and it's much simpler to check.
Oh. Sounds nice.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds nice. Like checking the Erev in Washington Heights, it takes around an hour. And it's not, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what to look for, but it's really not that much of an undertaking. So Tosis is basically, So Tosis is distinguishing between Shasi and Erev. And we have one approach of the Gon Yaakov, that it depends on what's a door. And there's another approach of Soloveitchik, that maybe there are two different types of lavud. Yah Tanya.
About the Gaon Yaakov, the fact that he's making a Tzuras HaPesach, you said, it's between
Pesach, yeah. It becomes a doorway, right?
But that's very, very narrow. So it seems like it doesn't fit the paradigm.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not... The point is, yes, it's thinner than the regular doorway, but something like this looks like a door. Something like this does not look like a door.
So it's not that it could be a door. It's just, it's a shape that we have.
It resembles doors. That's the idea.
Yeah.
And second? Now the Ritva over here comments that the standard approach of lavud in halacha, I have one thing over here, another thing over here. There's less than three tefachim. The standard approach is that I bring them together. That lavud means that you collapse the two together. You're mechaber. The Ritva says that's impossible. Because in our Gemara, right, I have the sukkah. I'm going to have the machzelos of four in the middle, and I'm going to have less than three on the top, less than three on the top. If the idea of love is that everything collapses, so now all I have is four tefachim. Right? If I assume that this goes up to here, this goes down to here, and they end up touching, so I just lost all my space in between. Obviously, lovud, the Ritva says, is not chibur. It is rather miloy. It's filling it in with material. It's not just that I combine them. That's the, again, intuitively, I think if you would hear the word lovud in high school, you'd think of chibur. But the Ritva says it's clear from our Gemara that lovud is miloy rather than chibur. There is how much fun it is to use blackboards. Okay. Let's read on in the Gemara, and then we'll talk about. Yeah, Amar Reb Ami. It's 5 lines in the bottom. Amar Reb Ami, pas arba umashahu matir basuka mishum dofen. If I have a board that is 4 tfachim wide, that can be matir asuka, that could count as a wall. Mukim la v'pachos mishlosha tfachim samach ledofen, v'chol pachos mishlosha samach ledofen kilofa dami. If I have a full wall, let's say on the east, I have a full wall. Then on the north or the south, Rashi says, I have something that is 4. I put that 4 within 3 tfachim of the other wall. That means a total of 7. And the minimum size of a sukkah is 7. Right? So the Gemara says, a pas arba works by a sukkah. My kamashmalan, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, ha-kamashmalan, that shir meshach sukkah katana shiva. The chiddush is, that sukkah is 7 tfachim. I have no idea why the Gemara has told me this on the Daf Zayin on the base. I learned this halacha a bunch of times already in the Masechta, but somehow Tes Zayin on the base tells me that this is the halacha, that pas arba is matir asuka. Grand. Tosis asks a kasha. Tosis, it's like the big Tosis. It begins at the bottom and it goes over to the top. Right? This is the case. I have a one wall. Why do I need a pass of 4 tefachim? Why don't I just have a little stick here, a little stick here, a little stick here? They're all within 3 tefachim. And why don't I assume that that's good enough? Why do I need a full board of 4? Right? Why do you need the board, right, when you could just have teeny little sticks that would fill in the area and count as lavud? That's Tosis's kasha. So Tosis has a line. If you look in the Tosis on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the last 4 lines of the Tosis, it says V'yesh Lomar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 5 lines before the end of the Tosis on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. V'yesh Lomar. Mishum damrina b'sof parakama de erevin. D'chol mechitza she'ena shol shesi ve'erev ena mechitza. A mechitza that is only warp or only woof is not a good mechitza. That's what the Gemara says in Eruvin. V'im hayu shnei pasin she'en b'chol echad arba havi like a mechitza shol shesi. Zok Taisvis, if you do not have a board of 4 tfachim, so that is like a mechitza of shesi. That is like you only have warp, you only have woof, you only have one of them. And if you have a mechitza that only has warp or woof, that is not a kosher mechitza, the Gemara in Erevin says, and therefore it's also not kosher by sukkah. That's Tosis. Now everybody reads this Tosis, And as the expression goes, they jump up and down and they spit wooden nickels and they say, what are you talking about? Right? We've had dozens of cases that you have like little stuff and this counts, right? We just encountered it in the Tosfos Mahu D'Tema that I can have this as a mechitza for Shabbos and this could be a mechitza for Sukkah. So what does our Tosfos mean when Tosfos says that this is like a mechitza of only Shasi and the mechitza of only Shasi doesn't help? So the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Tav Reish Lamed that what Tosfos means is I could have a mechitza of only Shasi if it is on one side of the sukkah. But if I have all four sides just based on pole, you can't have all four sides of the sukkah being only Shasi or only Erev. I need at least one complete wall. If I have one complete wall, then I could do Shasi or Erev. But if I do not have a complete wall, then you can't do Shasi and Erev. Or let me say it better because I just put my foot in my mouth. I cannot have all four sides of the sukkah being ... That's what the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham understands that Tosfos, and Tosfos says that you can't have a mechitza of Shasi. That means this scenario. When I have all four sides of the sukkah being ... that does not count. Now, this is a halacha that makes it to Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes it being a Siman Tav Reish Lamed. The Mishnah Brura paskens this way, and most people don't know this halacha because it doesn't come up that often. Usually when you build a sukkah, you use boards, right? You have like a pass. You use a standard board. Rarely do you just use string, one directional string, Shasi or Erev. That's not often done as a sukkah. Tanya.
The canvas sukkahs often come with these strips because it flies in the wind and it would be just Erev.
But let's go slowly. So the canvas sukkah strips, these are called chumra strips. In other words, it flaps in the wind, perhaps, but it's not nothing. There is substance there. The Magen Avraham is talking about a case where there is no substance. All you have is ... on all four sides. So Magen Avraham says that's no good. Now, this year, this past sukkahs, because of COVID, so people wanted to build sukkahs with as much airspace as possible. So some of the suggestions were use lamdas and build a sukkah ... No? Or have a sukkah. Some people suggested maybe just have schach on top of the, let's say, metal frame. So that won't be good. You need defanos. Well, let me have the bare minimum defanos. ... I'll just have some boards. The answer is you can't do that on all four sides. Matzah Yom Kippur every year of Shechta gives a shiur about how to build a sukkah. Because the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to build your sukkah Matzah Yom Kippur. Most people in Washington Heights don't build sukkahs. So every year Matzah Yom Kippur, Shechta gives a shiur about how to build a sukkah. This year, this is the first thing he said in the shiur. He's like, people have been asking me so many questions about this year because of COVID. It's very important to be safe, but you can't do that. The Magen Avraham, like, that's it. You can't have all four sides. Again, we don't fully understand the whole Tosfos. Like, why not? What exactly is the problem? We don't know, but Tosfos says it, and the Magen Avraham Paskens like that. So that's the halacha. Okay, ladies, any questions, any comments?
How many do you have to have filled in?
So that's a great question. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in his notes on this Gemara, he thinks I have one complete wall. I could do ... on three walls. But then he says, one second, we know that all a sukkah has to be is two and the third one a mashahu, right? Well, would that be okay if I have one wall, then ... Would that be okay? Right? In that scenario, you don't even have anything on the other side. So the Shlomo Zalman is not really sure about these cases. He says if you have a regular sukkah with four walls, so then, right, one complete wall is good enough, but he's not certain about the other case. If I have a sukkah like with three walls, he's not certain on whether that will help. Again, we're sort of shooting in the dark because we're explaining a tosis that is hard to understand, and it's a chiddush of the Magen Avraham. We don't know exactly what we don't motivate the Magen Avraham to say it, but we don't fully understand it. Okay, Ms. Gutman.
Yeah, just the last line of this Gemara. I'm not sure I understand what it's saying.
That Meshach Sukkah Zion, that line?
Yeah, the Tana. And then the Rashi that goes with it.
Thanks. You're making me open my Gemara. You realize that.
Thank you.
Umuki Lavapachos Gimel Samach Lidolfin. Notice I'm going to have a pass. I'll have a board of four tvachim, and I put it within three tvachim near the wall. Samach Lidolfin Hasheni Vimekzoa, next to the other wall at the corner. It doesn't really mean at the corner, it means on the side. The Chiyaminim Lavud Ika Dolfin Shiva. Once I have Lavud, now I have a wall of seven. Mizem Meshach Sukkah Ktana. And that is the size of a tiny sukkah that can have my head and my body, etc. That's what Rashi says.
Like the shear that we're talking about is...
The minimum sukkah is 7 by 7.
Right.
In this case, I'm going to have 7 by 7 because I have one wall that's 7. And then I have a thing of 4. And this is less than 3, so that makes it 7 by 7.
Oh, okay, that's what he said.
Obviously, there's a third side also, but yeah.
Okay. And then Rosh Rubo, okay. Just saying, you fit in there.
Okay. Okay, ladies, have a wonderful evening, a merry Sabbath. And next week also, we have to start 7:30. Okay, we'll have to figure it out. For me, 7:30 is an easier, rounder number, but I'm happy going back to 7:15. But like I mentioned last week, when they have like a din Torah, I just need, and it goes officially until around 7, I just need to catch my breath sometimes. Okay.
7:30 is fine for always. I mean, should we check with everybody and just see if we could change
it? Yeah, I mean, I don't 7:30
mind. 7:30 is fine with me.
Okay, I mean, I'm nervous a little bit about Sima's in like a foreign continent, and you know, it could be for her the 15 minutes matter. Okay, excellent, Chevra. Have a wonderful evening. Have a good night. Bye bye.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz.
Sure. Good night.